God be exalted in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to thank you on behalf of all our brethren who have traveled. Thank you, Lord, at this moment, oh God, we remember Jehovah God, our pastors who traveled, Pastor Vern and the wife. Thank you for Pastor Grace. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Desire. And thank you, Lord, for the senior pastor, our dear Pastor Michael Obi. We give you all the praise for each one of them, especially your son as he's coming back this morning. We ask, oh God, that your presence will be with him and will be with all your children as they will be returning back in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you will cover them with your precious blood. We ask, oh God, that, Lord, they will land safely. You will bring them back with the anointing, oh God, to continue in your work. Thank you, Jehovah God. As we look into your word this morning, Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you take over this moment. Bless your word into our hearts. Help us, oh God, that as we receive your word, Father, we will walk upon the word. The word will do us good in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I'm just a speaker. I'm just a servant in your hands. I ask, oh God, that this morning you use me to amplify your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word come out with power. Let your word heal and save and deliver. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory. Lord, I pray this morning, oh God, that you increase as I decrease to the glory of your name, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Averagely, each one of us will meet with at least two new people in a week. Is that correct? You will meet with at least, you will see at least two new people. People you have never seen before. At least two in a week. Is that correct? Amen. All right. So if you multiply that by four, that is eight. Some of us, because of the environment we find ourselves, we might be meeting with about three, four, or five people. And in a week, we might be meeting with about 10, 15 people. But let's just put it averagely between 8 and 10 in a week. So if you multiply that in a year, you know how many people that, by the grace of God, would have been able to, at least you have seen. All right? Whether you have known the person or not, you have been able to have a contact with at least two people in a week. And that times 52 will be, all right, 104. So in a year, at least, you have met with 104 people. And as we're going to see from the word of God this morning, that is not just happening per chance. For each day and for each man or each woman you come in contact with, that is a divine appointment. God meant that you will see that person, you will meet with that individual for a purpose. And I pray this morning as we look into the word of God, that we'll begin to see the reason why God connects you with people, or why you see people, or why you are, you know, connected with people. Sometimes you see them, sometimes you greet, sometimes you even shout. There is a reason for that. And as we begin to take the opportunity, we step into the very purpose of God for which we have been kept. Hallelujah. There is something unique in you that can only be found in you and not in someone else's life. That is the uniqueness that can only be found in you, and that is attached to who you are. And you can't find it elsewhere. And it's only when that you begin to play the role that you are meant to play that the people that is in your web, people that God meant that you should meet, that you'll be connected with, that you begin to have influence on them. It's only when you recognize that you have been preserved, you have been kept, God has specially anointed you for the purpose of standing for him in the gap. Whether as a student, whether as a worker, you could meet them in the grocery stores, it could be in the campus, it could be while you are driving, it could be at the airport, it could be everywhere. Anywhere, there are always people. And God method, you will leave something, something memorable in the life of that individual. I pray that we will not fail in Jesus' name. This morning, we want to read from the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I want to read from verse 30 to 37. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him." Verse 35. "On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So, which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Go and do likewise. This morning we're considering, be an agent of hope. Be an agent of hope. Now, Jericho was 18 miles east of Jerusalem. The road was steep. It's a steep descent from Jerusalem to Jericho, and the route was dangerous, and is public, you know, is well known to be called the bloody way, because of the activities of robbers. We are all in a journey of life. As we travel in batches, en route the bloody way, this very world. We are all traveling in batches, and we are traveling en route the bloody way. And that bloody way is this very world we find ourselves in, with the activities of the robber, Satan. His goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we are all journeying. We will see the 3 kinds of people we have just read about here. And we are going to see, we are going to fall into one of the, you know, 3 categories. There are 3 of them there. But we're going to choose our life. We are going to see if actually we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. I mentioned earlier on that people that we come across, we come across all kinds of people on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a yearly basis. Let me repeat again. Among these people that we come across, oftentimes, most of them fall into what is called life's perils because of the journey, en route the bloody way. En route the bloody way. This world is full of evil because of sin and because of the devil, who is masterminding the activities most often, and he sets a lot of traps, and unfortunately people fall into it. So we see all kinds of victims 24/7. Victims in the hand of the devil. Victims in the hand of this robber, the devil, who has come to steal anything that is called good. He has come to steal peace, joy, satisfaction. Mention it. That is what he does. That is what he does. So there are a lot of people you come across on a daily basis. Some of them have lost maybe their jobs. Some may have lost their homes or properties. Some may have lost their health because of certain sickness or illness they have been passing through. Some must have lost their relationship due to disagreement. They have been in a relationship, maybe married or about to marry, but because of something, one of the activities of the devil, the relationship is broken. Some may have stopped, or their studies are interrupted because of financial issue, being a student. And worst of all these are okay. Some may have even found their businesses folded up. But if all these that we have mentioned, they are not to be compared with what I want to mention now. Most of these people, they have not only lost all that I've mentioned, job, health, relationship, money, health, and every other thing I've mentioned, but they have also lost their relationship with God. They have no eternal life. Mark chapter 8 verse 36 says, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet lose his own soul?" What shall it profit a man if he gains all the wealth, have somebody, have all the education, have all the influences, have all that he can ever imagine in life, have all the properties, have everything you can think about, but then he lost something, and that is eternity with God? What shall he profit him? So we see people from day to day, from time, when you wake up in the morning and you go out there, you are going to meet with one person or two in a week who are falling into this category here. So it's not an accident. It's not by chance that you are meeting people or you are seeing new faces, or you find yourself maybe when you are in the bank or in the grocery store or you are in the airport, you meet certain people that come your way. They cross your path. There must be a reason. Anytime you see a new face or you see somebody across you, ask yourself, in which category is this individual falling into? Is he among those who have lost eternity with God? Is he among those who have lost earthly things, property, relationship, job, health, money, influence, whatever it is? Definitely. And then God wants you to do something about people you see or you meet with. God allows people to be planted in your way because that is divine appointment. Here we see in this scripture, the passage we just read, we've seen a victim of circumstance, a victim of situation. Here is a businessman who was journeying, a rich person. He was journeying, and unfortunately, today we have so many unfortunate incidences in the world. So he fell into the hands of thieves who stole everything that he had. And they killed him. They hurt him and they left him half dead. Half dead. Now we're going to see three persons and three actions. And we're going to ask ourselves at the end of this short exhortation, where we find ourselves. Who am I among these three people? Who am I? The Bible Bible tells us the first person that came across this man, verse 31 says, now by chance, a certain priest, no name, came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. A priest. That is representing the religious institution, representing the clergy, representing the religious leader in the society. When he saw this man half dead, the Bible says he looked at him, all right? He saw him, but he passed by on the other side. Not wanting, number one, it could be, I think I don't want my activity today in the church to be interrupted. I don't want to be polluted by anything because it's there in the law. If you touch any dead person or any dead thing, even dead carcass, you become unclean. And before you can do anything, before you can function in the house of God, you have to do the ceremonial cleansing. And possibly he didn't want to be defiled. But above that, apart from that, we could see that when you go into his heart, you will see callousness. You will see that he prefer the activity in the church, the religious activity, to the soul of this man. That is the picture of the world today. The world has become so religious. People have become too churchy. People are full of religious activities that we hardly look at the soul of man. We hardly look at the soul of people that come across us. We see them, we just look at them, and we pass by the other way. We look at them just on the face value, and we don't ask, we don't go beyond just seeing them. Oh, that's okay, that's a tall man. Oh, that's okay. That's a nice guy, wearing nice clothes. And then we pass by. Just as this man saw him, but he passed the other way around. How many people do we see in a week that God had made that, you come together, seen that person, it's a divine appointment. God will want you to deposit something in the life of that individual. It could just be, good morning, God loves you. It could be God is in control of whatever you are going through. No one has ever crossed your way if not by divine appointment. So nothing happens by accident. God has ordained it that for every man, every woman that comes your way is by divine appointment. Tomorrow you are going to see new people, fresh people. People you've never seen before. When we have the opportunity to get close to them, to chat with them, to interact with them, let's go beyond just looking at the outward appearance. Let's go beyond just looking at the way they look at, the way they, whatever they put on. Let's go and look into the soul by the Spirit of God. Let's look into the soul of that individual. What could this man be passing through? What could this woman be passing through? Is he lost? Is this man lost eternity with God? Yes, he may have lost some valuables in the world, lost his health, lost property, lost car, lost relationship. Those things are okay, but they are not as important as the soul of a man. So God is placing you there where you find yourself as a student, as a worker. Whatever you do, wherever you find yourself and you meet with people, God wants you to look straight into their eyes and go look straight into their soul. Ask yourself by the Spirit of God, is this one among those who are lost? Is this one lost eternally? How can I help this individual In what way can I bring life into the life of this individual by connecting him with he who is the life of the world? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The priest looked the other way around and he left. Next to the priest is a Levite, just like the priest, a Levite. He too happens to be in the religious world. But unlike the first one who happened to be a priest, a pastor, a bishop, an archbishop, a reverend doctor, whatever it is, but this one is just a worker. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be whatever you can measure in the house of God. He does something in the house of God. But he fell also into the category of the first guy. He's a religious guy. He wouldn't want to be defied by touching a carcass or want somebody who's dead. And of course, he wouldn't want to be late to the service. I'm not saying going to the service late is okay. I'm not saying doing a religious activity is not fine, it's not okay. I am saying above that, that is something unique, that is something that is mandatory, that is something God will want us to carry out above whatever the religious activity that we are carrying out in the house of God. God wants you to touch, reach out on his behalf to men and women who are dying, who have been inflicted with wounds by the devil, the thief, the robber, who are at the point of dying eternally, forever, never to be united with God. But as long as they are still breathing, they still have the opportunity. That is why they are at the point of death, though they have been separated from God, but they can still have opportunity of resuscitation. So this Levite also, Bible tells us, verse 32, likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed the other side. He did the same thing like the priest. Brethren, there's something that is heavy in my heart. When we get to heaven, God is not going to ask us how many sermons have I preached. God is not going to ask you how many songs have you sung. It's not going to ask us how many activities have you carried out in the house of God. God is going to ask if you have been able to rescue your brother, your sister. The souls of men and women who are dying. Men and women who have been wrecked by sin, wrecked by the devil, who have been left half dead. God is going to require. Although what we do in the house of God matters, it's important because we get a reward for that. But this God is going to ask you, you received mercy from me, you were saved. How many people do you share the word with? How many people do you give opportunity? How many people do you offer, you know, the message of salvation, the message of redemption? How many people were you able to, you know, drag out of the hand of the devil? So the Levite went the other way, as usual, like the priest. Then there came in verse 33 a certain Samaritan, no name, a certain Samaritan. Let me tell you, when we talk about Samaritan, the Samaritans, they were known to be, you know, people were polluted, people were, you know, it's amalgamation, it's a combination of the pure Jew and then the Gentiles. It's a long story. But they look at them, the Jews, the southern Jews, the people from Judah, they look at the Samaritans as those who are not pure, as those who are not godly, as those who are, you know, misraised, as those who are not, they are not to be referred to as Jews. They are not pure Jews. They are sinners. Let's just call it what they call them. They are sinners. So they often look down on them. They are always, you know, they are despised and hated as a man of mongrel race and polluted religion. They look at them that they don't have pure religion. They don't, you know, they are polluted. Their race is polluted. And of course, that was what happened. When you know, the northern part of Israel were carried away, the strong Assyrian, what they did was that they brought their male, their young men, they brought them into Samaria, into the northern part of Israel, to marry with the women there. And so they interwoven, and they were able to bear seed for them. So the men that came were not pure Jews. So they met with the women that were there. So Samaritans were polluted. So they looked at them at, these are not pure Jews. But the Samaritan, the Bible tells us, as he journeyed, the same way, the same bloody way. And when he saw him, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Here is a sinner. Here is somebody they refer to as sinner. It's not a Jew. It's not to be, honored. It's one of those with, you don't have that dignity among the Jews. But the Bible says when he saw this man, he moved closer. And what did he do? He saw him. He had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. That was what was lacking. It's unfortunate that the church today, said earlier on, the church becomes too churchy, and the world becomes, the world is churchy and the church is worldly. So there's this interwovenness. All right? The world has entered into the church. The system of the world has been copied by the church. God made you original. Don't become a duplicate. God made the church original. But the church is ending up being a duplicate. Why? How? We're copying the world. We allow the system of the world to enter into us. We are doing what they are doing. I'm reading a book. The title is An Enemy Called Average. Say, God has made you an apple. Don't try to be an orange. God has made you a son of God, a child of God. Don't try to be something less. In doing that, you water the DNA. You water what God says you are. You are compromising. You are not staying where God says you should be. God says you are the salt of the earth. And when you stop seasoning lives, salting or putting saltness in the lives of people, then you downgrade yourself. You become less of what God called you. And then you are not functioning as God expected of you. So, if the world is doing what the church is supposed to do today, that would be a disgrace. In fact, it's happening. They have clubs in the world. They have everything. They have all that. And sorry to say, some churches today, I'm not looking at that. I'm not trying to judge. But you see, that is what is there. Why they go to church is just because of, the club, in quote, aspect of it. That thing that brings us together, make us celebrate. That's all. But far beyond that, God is bringing sons and daughters together for the collective anointing to rescue the world dying. To rescue those who have been maimed, those who have been afflicted, those who have been, disabled by the world, by the devil himself. And God wants us to bring peace to them. God wants us to bring the message of salvation to them. You see, the action of the first two were negative. The action of the Samaritan was positive. He moved closer. He bandaged his wounds. Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 3 talks about Jesus said, it was a prophecy about Jesus, and that is also a prophecy about you, about who you are, about what you should do. Say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That is why you were called. You have been anointed as a child of God. On a daily basis, God wants you to go there, proclaim liberty. Proclaim liberty to the captives. How? They will not be free until you tell them about the only one that can set captives free. That is Jesus. They can't be free until you let them know what he did in your life. I was once bound. I was once a sinner. I was held bound. I was going down to hell. The thief actually afflicted me. I was half dead until Jesus came and healed me. And that's talking about salvation. Let them know. Share your faith. Stand for who you are. Stand for righteousness. Stand for the truth. Stand for the word of life. That was why you were preserved. That was why God called you. That is why God brought you to that institution. That is why you find yourself in that place of work. That is why God connected you in that business that you are doing. God wants you to touch lives so that those who have been wrecked by this thief, the devil, might find healings, might find deliverance. So you can proclaim to them the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus is coming back again. You bring comfort to those who mourn. Console those who mourn in Zion. Give them beauty for ashes. Let them know there is hope. All is not lost. They lost their job. They lost their health. They lost their property. They lost whatever. They lost relationship. All is not lost. There is hope. And I said this morning, there is hope. There is hope for you. Hallelujah. I don't know what you have lost. There is hope for you this morning. I said, there is hope for you this morning. Jesus is that hope. If only you can just allow him, let him take the first place this morning. Just tell him, Lord, I can't do it myself. I'm tired. I've been afflicted. I'm a victim of the enemy, the devil, the robber. But I come to you because your word says you have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Lord, I need that life in abundance. It will touch you. It will restore you. It will bring back what you have lost. So there is hope in Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This man, the Samaritan, bent down. He bandaged his wound. He poured oil and wine. These are ingredients for healing on that wound. Not only that, he gave him a ride. Gave him a ride in his own limousine. What is the best car today? What is the best car in America today? You don't want to say it? Okay. Come again. Talk to me. That's not the best car, you know. It's a popular car, but that's not the best car. I'm talking about. Come again. Come again. You know, of course. So he put him in his bed. If I were, maybe I'll be thinking this guy is going to stain my car with this blood. You know what it means when you're going to detail the car? When you're going to, this guy with the blood gushing out of his body, of course, he just bandaged him and everything. Maybe he would have just stopped there. But he put him in his car, in his, the best means of, you know, of traveling those days. Not only that, he did that, he brought him to the hospital, healing center, and he deposited 2 denarii or 2 silver coins. Well, in those days, equivalent to 34 cents. Those days, that is equal to 2 days' wages he deposited. Take care of this man. Whatever you spend in excess, when I come back, I'm going to pay you. He stooped down, bandaged his wound. He took time, spent time. I don't know where he was going, but he interrupted his own journey for the sake of this man. He bent down, he bandaged his wound, he poured oil and wine. He took him, put it on his mule, on his horse or donkey, and he brought him to an inn. He didn't just stop there. He spent money. He deposited an amount that is equivalent to 2 days' wages. Somebody he never knew before. And told them, take care of him. Whatever you spend in excess, take my word. When I come back, I will pay you. For somebody he never knew before. For somebody, possibly a proper Jew, who happened to become a victim of robbers. And possibly if that man wasn't in that situation and is alive and is conscious, maybe we look at this Samaritan man as one of those unclean people. But it came down to his level. That is what God wanted to do. There are a lot of people, you may see them alive in their cars, in their limousine, in their whatever, you find them, right, having their private jet or whatever it is. If they are not yet born again, they have been attacked. They are dead. They have dead. They are actually dead. But because they are alive physically, you see them alive. All right, it's an opportunity. You can still rescue them. Go beyond looking at them physically. See who they are. Look at their soul. See what they have lost. Don't look at what they possess. Thank God for the wealth. We need the wealth for the growth of the church, for the gospel. Amen? Amen. But then, we have to look at every man. When you see that man, when you see that woman, that young girl, look at the soul. Is this one among the lost? Is this one redeemable? Can I do something? Can I stoop down? Can I interrupt my journey? Can I interrupt my pleasure? Can I interrupt whatever plan I have? And, you know, stoop down. Come to the level of this even individual. And see if I can spend a few minutes, share the word of God, give my own testimony. You don't have to begin with those days. I always start to preach in those days. You are a sinner. If you are not born again, you are going to hell. No. Those are hold approach. Hallelujah. That is hold approach. Praise the Lord. You can just start with what the Lord has done for you. Amen. Amen. You can just begin with your testimony. I just want to share with you the greatest day in my life. You think somebody is not ready to hear that? Oh, the greatest day in your life, I would like to hear that. Or you want to ask somebody, can you tell me the best experience you ever had? The best experience. The best day of your life so far. They will be ready to listen. They want to hear you. Or you want to hear from them. That is a good connection. And many more. Praise the Lord. You can begin with your own testimony. What you were. Where you were. When you were afflicted. And you were half dead. And a good Samaritan found you. And you were, you know, saved. And you were delivered. You now have hope. He too can be saved. There is hope for him or for her. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to know this morning that the ransom for every soul have been paid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And also in John chapter 15 verse 13, it talks about the good friend You know, the good friend. What the good friend gave, say, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Verse 12 of that John 15, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for everyone. As you share your testimony with these ones, they will come back to life. That man did not die. Why? Because somebody took it upon himself, a good Samaritan. Saw him like others, the first two saw him, but he went beyond that. He did not only see him, he saw him, he came near where he was, and he stooped down to help him. Sinners are victims. They are dead. We need to go and rescue them. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 3 talks about who we were before and what God did in our hearts, in our lives. So sinners need the same thing. They need to be born again. They need to be rescued. If we don't go for them quickly, they may be your neighborhood. If you don't go for them quickly, only God knows what will happen. Because when they close their eyes here on earth, they are going to find themselves in eternity, cut off from God forever and ever and ever and ever. So we must go on healing the wounds, pouring oil and wine. We must go and have impact. We have to go and impact the lives of people. We have to live memorable experience with them as the salt of the earth. We must go touch every life this week. Touch life this month, this very month, July. Today is July 1st. Resolve your heart. For every young person I see, for every young adult, for every child, for every adult, whoever comes my way as I'm approaching, as I'm looking, I will go beyond looking at just the outward appearance. I'm going to ask, is this one among those who are lost inside of me? And I will pray. I will pray. And if I have that opportunity to connect in talking and chatting with that individual, I will. I will come close. I will stoop down. I will interrupt my plan for that day just for one soul and bring them to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Today, we are reading about the Good Samaritan because he did something positively. He went after a dying soul. God wants you to go after a dying soul. Hallelujah. God wants you to go after a dying soul. Thank God that we have started something here in Mosaic. We just started the home fellowship. And if you are not yet connected with a center, you better do. We have three centers. Connect with them. That is a place where you don't have all the. Maybe we have too many people. We don't know how many people. We don't know how to reach out to everybody. But where you have fewer people, 5, 6, 7, maximum 12 in a place, you can easily, one-on-one, reach out to people. Bandage wounds. Don't open up wounds. Bandage them. Pour oil. Pour oil and wine. Let them heal up. Everything that is aching in the life of everyone, brother, sister, young, old, unbelievers, everybody is welcome. Everyone is welcome. And every center is a place where we bandage the wounds. We bandage the wounds. We pour the oil and the wine for healing. We link them with the healer, Jesus. We heal. We link them with the hope of life. That even where they have been half dead, they have been disconnected from God, they can be connected to the internal one. Through your effort. If only you can spare some few minutes. Like this good Samaritan. He stooped down. He spared some time. He spent money. He spent energy. Yes. In fact, he roughened his limousine. But then, that is eternity to gain for that.
was able to gain a soul. Not only that, he won a good reputation. Today we are making reference to him. There is a good record about what he did. And I'm sure by the grace of God, I'm sure that this man, God would have shown mercy on him. Though a Samaritan, he must, if we are going to see him when Jesus comes back. Say, oh, that is that man referred to as the good Samaritan. Then we will know his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, we want to pray. This morning, I want you to ask yourself, of these three men, am I like the good Samaritan? Or do I put up the attitude of the first two? They saw him. They looked at him. They passed the other way around. Oh, I'm too busy. Oh, I have a lot of assignment to carry out. Oh, I must not be late at work. Oh, I have a lot of things to do. I cannot just drop what I'm doing right now. Oh, God, you understand. You understand. You know what? May the Lord have mercy. God wants us to change our heart as Christians. Church, God wants us to change our hearts and see the dying souls outside, who have been afflicted by the devil, who are left to die. God wants us to rescue them. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. We are about to take the Holy Communion, but before we take the Holy Communion, I want us to pray. I want us, can we please rise on our feet? I want us to pray. Can we pray and say, Lord, I ask for a tender heart this morning. I pray for a tender heart. A tender heart to look out for men and women. Lord, give me a tender heart. Give me a compassionate heart. Lord, give me a compassionate heart. Help me, O Lord, for every man, every woman that I see, help me to, Lord, look out with a tender heart and have the desire, if need be, if that opportunity arises, Lord, to put aside whatever my plan at that time, spare 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes of my time and chat with this individual, pray with this individual, encourage this individual, bandage up the wounds that he or she may be carrying, pour oil and wine, Lord, say a word of comfort, say a word of encouragement. Help this brother, this sister. Help this sinner that will look at a sinner. Oh, can this one be saved? Lord, help me to look at them with a heart of compassion. Give me a tender heart that the enemy will not rejoice over them by killing them eternally forever, never to be saved. Lord, help me. Help me this morning to be a soul winner, to touch lives for you. Help me, Lord. Give me a compassionate heart. Give me a tender heart. As sought, help me, Lord, to season lives. Help me to preserve lives. They used salt in those days. Days when there was no fridge, no refrigerator, no refrigeration anywhere. So what they do is to preserve meat, fresh meat, by sprinkling it with a lot of salt. And then they will put it, right there in the open, in the sun. The sun will preserve, the salt will preserve it from decaying. And of course, with the sun. So, the salt preserves it from decay, preserves it from any contamination. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Pray. Say, Lord, help me. Jesus' mighty name we pray. And if you are there, you are aching your soul and your spirit. You just need a healer to touch your soul this morning. Whatever that thing is, you are struggling with something. That is something that is trying to get hold of you. That is a problem. That is, it could be an addiction that you are trusting God this morning that will touch you. Just a simple prayer. We're going to pray for you. You can just put your right hand up on your head, trusting the Lord for your healing. trusting the Lord for breakthrough, trusting the Lord to give you answers to those questions, solution to those problems, give you way out, make a way where there's no way for you. He's the way maker. He's the promise keeper. Yes, just talk to me this morning. Talk to him. Lord Jesus, come to my rescue this morning. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Yes, Lord, we thank you because you are faithful. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for every need in the life of your children. Thank you for every problem, every situation that is beyond human ability, human power. Everything is submitted under your feet this morning. Lord, I ask that you intervene. I ask, oh God, that you meet your children. I ask, oh God, that Father, you will show forth yourself, oh God, as a promise keeper, as the way maker in their lives in the name of Jesus. I ask, oh God, that you will grant them wisdom. And you grant them, oh Lord, on what to do, Father. Some things they need to put off, some things they need to put on. Lord God Almighty, a solution to these problems or needs. Connect them, oh God, with men and women, oh God, that will be of help. Thank you, Lord. Take all the glory, take all the honor. Lord, we pray this morning that you grant to everyone, Lord, a tender heart. Give us, oh God, heart of compassion for sinners, for those who are dying outside there, and for one another, to be ready to help one another, to be ready to stoop down and, Lord God Almighty, bandage up wounds, pour oil and wine. Thank you, Father. Glory, honor to your name. We'll not become too churchy that we don't have time for you. We'll not become too churchy that we don't have time to help, oh God, the needy. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Please, before you sit down, today is it's a national day of prayer. And the senior pastor have asked me that we should have this prayer. We're going to pray for this nation. I want us to pray for this nation. The Bible says righteousness exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach. Is what? Is a reproach to anyone, to any people. So I want us to pray for this nation that God will visit America. We are waiting for God's intervention, that God will cause heaven to be opened upon America, that America will not fail in our duty. You know, God has connected America to be able to connect the world. You know, whatever America does, your entire world is, you know, they are doing what they are copying, whether positive or negative. So let's pray that America will play it right. America will not forget the roots, their root with God. God, in God we stand. That revival will burst out in this nation. That every problem that America is going through right now, politically, financially, socially, in whatever way, God intervene. Lord God Almighty, let there be peace. Let your purpose be done. Let your will be done. Let's pray for America. Let's pray for America. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God Almighty, we pray for America. We bring America before you this morning. We ask, oh God, that Lord, you will see this country. You raise up this country for a purpose. You raise up this country, oh Father, to be a blessing to many nations. We ask, oh God, that America will not diminish. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, that you connect America. Lord God Almighty, to our source, God himself. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, that this nation, Father, will not fail. Father, God Almighty, in standing for equity, standing for righteousness, standing for holiness, standing for that which is right. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, every need in this nation be met. Every problem be solved. Father, politically, financially, economically, Father, Lord Jehovah God, in whatever way that America is going through, hard time, Father, let there be solution. Let there be unity of purpose. Let, oh God, this nation experience, oh God, your revival. Cause, oh Lord, Father, the wave of the Holy Spirit to come upon this nation in the mighty name of Jesus. Wake up your church in this nation. Let the church in America wake up. Let them wake up and carry out their responsibility in the mighty name of Jesus. Let them, oh God, stop being churchy. Let them begin to go out there like the Good Samaritan, Lord, bringing healings to those who have been dead, to those, oh God, who have been afflicted by the enemy, to those, oh God, who have been hopeless in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We pray for every leader, Lord, beginning from the president, Lord God Almighty, at the national level, at the state level, at the local level, we pray, oh God, Father, lead them to lead us. Guide them to guide us. Help them, oh God. Put your righteousness in their hearts. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' blessed name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to take the Holy Communion now. You are still, as you are going to take this Holy Communion, you are going to pray. I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit, because oftentimes the question is, I remember when I was just newly born again, and one thing that came upon my heart then is when we talk about talking to people about Jesus, sharing Jesus, hey, what am I going to say first? I don't have too many words of God. I don't know what I'm going to say. Suppose they ask some hard questions. How am I going to deal with it? When I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, I received boldness to stand and talk to people about Jesus. If you had to meet me before I was born again, I had to stand before five people. I'll be shaken. But when the Holy Spirit came into me, he gave me boldness. So we're going to pray, Lord, give me that boldness. That this week, whoever you have sent me to, whoever in my neighborhood, in my workplace, in my office, in the school, wherever I am, oh God, that you have a message. You have a message through me. I will go there like that good Samaritan. I will stoop down. I will spare 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Lord, I will bandage wounds. I will encourage. I will let them know there is hope. I will let them know Jesus is the Savior. And if they are connected with Jesus, they have life. And every need is met. Hallelujah. So as we come out, and we come in to take, that's the prayer you'll be praying as we come out this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're expecting something you need from God, like maybe you have an appointment for an interview, whatever it is, you are trusting God for one thing or the other, this is an opportunity. You can connect with your miracle. Jesus is the miracle worker, and he's going to also bring it about as you pray, as you trust him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You gave yourself as a ransom. John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the whole world. Thank you, Jesus. You gave yourself as the Lamb. You were scorched. You were beaten. They spat upon you. You were despised. You carry our shame. You carry our burdens. And finally, you died. You were buried. They thought that you rose up. You were glorified. You ascended to heaven. There in heaven, you are interceding for us. We recognize this morning as we partake of this bread, which stands for your body that was broken. Lord, as we eat of this body, I pray that everyone, oh God, will receive fresh unction, will receive boldness, will receive anointing, will receive the courage to stand out there as your representative, telling people about Jesus in whatever way, Lord, that you have enabled him or her, bringing men into your kingdom, rescuing, oh God, bringing men and women who have been afflicted by the enemy out of the hand of the devil Father, bringing hope to the hopeless. As we eat this bread, oh God, let it also be an open door for your children who are trusting you for their job, Father, for their marriages, Father, for promotion, for healing, for favor, for breakthrough, Father, for elevation. Let it bring about, oh God, Father, whatever the desires of your children. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. Glory, honor to your name. We pray, Lord, as we partake of this here on earth, Father, may we be qualified through your blood to partake with you in that kingdom. When we eat it afresh with you in your Father's kingdom. Thank you. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Eat ye all of it.
Taking the announcement now. Where is Joe? Hallelujah. Where is Joe? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for what God is doing. Like I said, our pastor is on his way. He's on his way from his trip. And all other brethren, the pastors also, and all our sisters that traveled, they will be on their way today. Some will be arriving tomorrow. Let's keep on praying for them, and the Lord will bring them back safe and sound. Amen. Okay. All right. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Now, we should not forget that this Wednesday, by the grace of God, we will not be